Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice."
Good morning, church. What a wonderful day to be here. I hope you are all doing well. Appreciate Stephen so much leading those songs, the encouragement that we received, and the other brothers who have worked to assist us in our worship this morning. As most of you are aware, we're in the middle of a series on the book of Philippians, and we finally made it to that precious and cherished chapter 4. And it's important to understand that we are to be rejoicing. But it's also important as we examine the remainder of this book to know that the furtherance of the gospel, the way that our love is to abound, that we're to count as lost certain things in our life and count as gain other things in our life, that we're to have the mind of Christ, that we're to fulfill Paul's joy and the Lord's joy in being unified with one another, and how all of these things tie together that bring us to this chapter. We're going to spend 5 weeks in chapter 4 talking about reasons to rejoice. Reasons to rejoice. Because by the time we get here, it's time to rejoice. And there's a lot for us to be rejoicing and joyful about. Would you pray with me as we begin this morning? Holy Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessings that are ours. And we are so grateful for your love for us. We're grateful, Father, that you sent Jesus to be our sacrifice, to bear our sins on that cross, and to do what it was impossible for us to do. We're thankful that by his blood that we not only have access to your throne, but the forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with your presence here as we worship. Continue to bless us, Father, we pray, as we investigate a portion of your word. Speak to us from it, in Jesus' name, amen. As Angus just read here in chapter 4, that this is almost a summary statement, but not a complete summary statement, because he starts to make some personal remarks. We find ourselves here in chapter 4. My longed for and beloved brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. We are to stand fast in the Lord. We're not to be moved by different things that happen in life. We're not even to be moved by those within our sphere of the body of Christ, unless they are moving us according to what God's Word says, moving us closer to Him. But we're to stand fast in our faith. I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul just called out two of the people at the church in Philippi by name. And for 2,000 years, their names are only known for one thing: getting called out by Paul. We don't know what the disagreement was there, but they're implored to be of the same mind. Now, can you imagine Paul's writing us today, and he knew about maybe some personal things that were going on between you and a brother or sister in Christ? Would you want your name there for eternity? Probably not. You know, we would want to be, oh, you know, my faithful servant. Oh, my longed for, my joy and my crown. That's what we would want. But this is preserved for us as a reminder and an encouragement that part of standing fast in the Lord is to be of one mind with one another. Let our disagreements be short, get those things fixed, get them right, and continue moving forward in the Lord. I urge you also, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. These two that were in disagreement, these ladies here, that needed to be of one mind, their names are in the book of life, even though they're at odds with each other. Another reason why they needed to be careful to show themselves standing fast in the Lord. My grandfather, my dad's dad, had a saying that he would always tell my dad when he was a teenager, when he would go out, and your mom, your dad, your grandparents, somebody might have said the very same thing to you, but when my dad would go out, he would be told by my grandfather, now you know what the right thing to do is. He wouldn't tell him what not to do. You know what the right thing to do is, and remember whose name you have. He wasn't talking about Christ, he was talking about his earthly name. And how your activities with your earthly name are going to impact your earthly family, negatively or positively. How much more so when our names are in the book of life will what we do and say impact those in our family? So they are implored to be of one mind toward one another, to stand fast. And then, here's our verse, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say it, rejoice. We got a little song we sing like that, don't we? I'm seeing some head nods. You know the song, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, right? You might hear that a little bit later in the service. We're to rejoice. And one of the reasons that we need to rejoice is because of a book. Now, there's many kinds of books in the world. And depending on your particular flavor of book, it could be a novel, it could be a history book, it could be a textbook, it could be any number of books. Matter of fact, Solomon, the wise man, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12 says that of the making of books, there is no end. And if you go into a library and you go into bookstores and things like that, you can see that there is no end to the making of these books. And there are some books that contain people's names. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, first five verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Here, there are these census books that are there, these records, and you had to go and make sure that you were properly registered in your hometown. And as we look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, where we discussed last week, where's our citizenship? Is it in Bethlehem? Is it in Gainesville? Not in the truest sense. Our citizenship is in heaven. There is a census, a citizenship record, where we are the citizens of heaven. And there is found there a book of life. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus makes a curious but certainly important statement in verses 19 and 20. Jesus had sent, in the limited commission, had sent the 70 out, and they were casting out demons, and they're proclaiming the coming of the kingdom and all of these things, and they came back and they were rejoicing because Satan's demons, his minions, were at their beck and call. They were telling them what to do. And Jesus says, beginning in verse 19 of chapter 10, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to the things that you say. "But rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Brothers and sisters, our names are written in heaven. And that's a reason to rejoice. We need to be focused on that. We need to remember whose name we wear. We need to remember our family. We need to remember our relationships and all of those things, because our names are written in heaven. And this is an incredible reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Why is this a reason to rejoice? Is there a greater place for your name to be found? There is not. Is it there because you're such a wonderful person? No. Is it there because you've given more money than your neighbor has? No. Because you've rescued more puppies, that's why it's there. No, it's there because by the grace of God, He gave us the means by which we can enter into His spiritual body, and you chose to follow the commands of Christ and have yourself placed there. You're there. Your name is there. Can you imagine? I want you to think for just a moment. That moment in time where figuratively, you know, because we can't truly understand what eternity past was like, what eternity future is going to be like, but that time in which God, or He told His Son Jesus, or however this happened, said, "Write Mark Jameson's name in there." Fill in the blank with your name. He wrote your name in the book of life. Now, what do we do with that? Well, first thing you need to do is you need to rejoice that He could see who you were, what you would be, and He decided to put your name there. Your name is there. Now, I don't know about you, but when your name is used in a good context, well, that kind of puffs you up, doesn't it? When your name is mentioned in a poor context, well, that kind of just deflates you a little bit, right? Maybe a lot. And here on this occasion, these people's names were not being used necessarily in the most positive sense, but then He reminds them that's where their names are and that they should be rejoicing over that. We should be rejoicing. I don't know what's going on in your life today. And there's a lot of things that are pressing upon a lot of people in this congregation. We've got health issues of ourselves and of our family members. We've got job situations, we've got school, we've got conflict, we've got all kinds of things that we're faced with. How can you say, Paul, that I should be rejoicing? Because your name's in the book of life. And that is more important than any of the problems you're facing. It's not that those problems are not important, because they are. But what's more important is that your name's in the book of life, and we should rejoice. This book of life is the place where you want to be found. And that idea of life there is eternal life, not life here on earth, but our eternal life. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That book records for us the names of those who shall have eternal life. So who should be rejoicing? As we look out across our audience today, as we look down the pew, we look across the auditorium, we look front to back, who should be rejoicing? Well, let's look at a couple of things and let's figure this thing out for ourselves. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2? Now, you may recall, if you have spent any time in the book of 1 Corinthians, they had a few problems. That's an understatement, isn't it? They had a few problems. They had issues between members. They had issues between members and those who were outside. They had issues of sin. They had issues with how they were doing very important things like the Lord's Supper. They were doing that so wrongly that Paul said, that's not even the Lord's Supper you're taking anymore. Not a really positive thing is happening there. But when he writes this letter to them, listen to how he addresses them. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with whom all in every place call on the name of the Lord, or on Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You look at that and you go, Paul, did you not read chapter 5? These are saints? Are you serious? Yeah, they are. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they weren't in error, because they were on a number of occasions. He's going to point out to them. But the point is, look at this classification that finds itself here. These were sanctified. That means they've been set apart for a special purpose in God's eyes. These were those who were in Christ Jesus. These are those who call upon the name of the Lord. These are Christians. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. Are we? Absolutely not. So let's quit worrying about pointing out somebody else's faults. And let's look at not only who we are, but who they are. You've been set apart for a special purpose. You know, your name was not written in the book of life just because there was some extra ink lying around. God has a purpose for you. He wants you to be encouraged to fulfill that purpose in your life. There may be one person, I don't know who that person is, but there may be one person on planet Earth, and you're the only person who is prepared to share the gospel with that one person. Because of your relationship, because of your experiences, because of your learning, because of whatever has happened with you in your past, you may be the only person. There may be a person in this congregation who needs encouragement, and you may be the only person who is positioned to be able to encourage that person. You've been set apart in Christ Jesus for a very special purpose, just as the Christians in Corinth. You see, who is it that should be rejoicing? It's the church. It's us. We should be the ones rejoicing, because our names are in the book of life. How about in Hebrews chapter 12? The writer of Hebrews goes into an interesting comparison between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. You know the song, "We're Marching to Zion"? Yeah, we're not marching to a physical place. Listen very carefully. He says, you have not come, verse 18, of chapter 12 to that mountain that may be touched and burned. And he goes on to give this enormous description from where the children of Israel were frightened. Some of them died. There were all of these issues that were taking place because they didn't quite understand what was happening. You haven't come to that mountain. That was Sinai. Down in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Are we listening? Who are registered in heaven. Did you catch that? We've come here. Not we are going there. We have come to this place as God's people. This heavenly Jerusalem, this general assembly and church of the firstborn. This is where we have come to as the people of God. And those who have come there are those whose names are registered in heaven. Now, imagine in a very spiritual, superficial maybe way, just kind of allow your mind to wander for a second, and let's say that there's a Caesar who decides he's going to have a census, that we be registered in our place of origin. Philippians 3:20 tells us our citizenship is in heaven. Hebrews 12, that we've just read, tells us that our names are registered in heaven. Where do we have to go? We've got to go to our home. And that's where we long to be. You see, we're in another place right now, though our citizenship is there. Our names are registered in heaven in the book of life. We're there. And we should be rejoicing over that. Rather than fighting with each other, rather than trying to do things we ought not to do, or trying to stop things that we ought to do, rather than being at each other's throats, ignoring one another, rather than discouraging, rather than encouraging, all these things, because our names are written in heaven, our names are in there together. It's the same book, written by the same hand, in the same ink. Our names are there. We need to be rejoicing over that fact. Because if the world sees us, despite the problems that we're having, despite, as we talked about, death or impending death, illness, financial difficulties, relationship difficulties, job situations, whatever it may be, regardless of those things, we can truly, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How can you rejoice when that has just happened to you? Because my name's written in the book of life. I'm registered in heaven. And this is temporary. The problems that are here, they're going to go away. But the eternity that is there is where I will spend the remainder of my existence, which is forever. There's no end. I'm going to be there. And that's where I long to be, with those who are registered in heaven. There we go. Revelation chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, we find ourselves in one of the seven letters to the seven churches that Jesus is dictating to John. And he's writing to the church at Sardis. And the church at Sardis, if your editors in your Bible that kind of format things there, if they put anything in front of that letter, maybe they did something similar to what they did in mine, and they said, of the letter to the dead church. The letter to the dead church. You don't want to be Sardis. Now, I'm going to take a side note here. Anybody ever seen a Sardis church before? With the actual name Sardis on it? I have. I don't think they've read Revelation 3. We'll let them figure that out. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour that I come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Do you realize that that ink is not permanent in the book of life? Hello? Did you see what he just said? Do you think Jesus makes idle threats? I don't think he does. Why would he threaten to do something he would never do? You see, there were those, the majority, it sounds like, in that church, their names were about to be blotted out. They had been there, and they were not going to be there anymore. But there were some who remained faithful so that their names could remain in that book. See, it's for he who overcomes. The things of this life cannot press upon us and prevent us from doing what God has called us to do. And we've got to rejoice in all circumstances. And that doesn't mean that we got to be laughing when somebody dies. That's not what this is talking about. True spiritual joy is a sense of contentment regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We can be truly content because we know what we have waiting for us. And now to where we began. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Verses 22 through 27. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine for its glory, for the glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor to it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those. None others need apply. Finally started working again. I want you to think about it with me for just a moment. Your name's not there. What are you going to do? What is it that you can do? Not to earn it, but to be found with your name written there. Jesus gives us a number of things that when you stitch them together, it makes perfectly good sense as to how we are to be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 24 that unless you believe that I am He, you will all die in your sins. There is a certain belief that we have to have with regards to Jesus, Him as the Son of God. We've got to believe that. He tells us in Luke 13, verses 3 and also in verse 5, that unless you repent, you're all going to likewise perish. That idea of repentance is to change our way of thinking and let it affect the direction of our life, the action in our life. Because it starts with, we got to think it. We've got to purpose it. We're to repent. Stop doing what we have been doing. Start doing what God's called for us to do. It tells us in Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. We've got to acknowledge with our mouth. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if we confess Jesus as Lord with our mouth, we will be saved. There is a confession, an acknowledgement of who Jesus is with our mouth that has to be done. But Jesus also comes along and tells us in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Think with me real quick. Believe and baptized, salvation. You don't believe, you're going to be condemned. There's two things in that sentence. One is, the first part, he tells us how to be saved. But the second part, he tells us how to be lost. Do you want to be saved or lost? You see, to be saved is to have your name written in the book of life. Those are all Jesus' words that I just gave you. That's what he says that we have to do to be saved. If you want your name written in the book of life, we can help you with that this very day. There's a song prepared to encourage us this morning. And I want you to think about very carefully, is your name in the book of life? Because if it's not, we can assist you in changing that right now. Maybe you're here today and your name's in the book of life, but maybe you've put yourself in a position where Jesus is knocking on your door like the ones in Sardis and says, you know, you got to overcome or else your name's going to get blotted out. Maybe sin has come back into your life. Maybe you've invited it back in and you're throwing a party with sin and you're letting that affect your relationship with God. Maybe you're just falling into a time of discouragement or other difficulties that have come into your life. Let us pray with you, pray for you, encourage you today. Let us rejoice with you in whatever circumstance there is. Because we together are registered in heaven. Our names are in the book of life. So this morning, if you need to have your name placed there, or if you want to make sure that your name stays there, or you want your brothers and sisters to help you and come alongside you, help you to stand fast in the Lord, won't you make that known to us as together we stand and as we sing?
It's all friendless, forsaken.